the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yes, and we welcome you back to the program. We welcome you back to the new year. Hey, we're live once again. How about that? After a week of whatever, holiday cheer, I suppose, we're ready to leap into 2016 with more of the best in money information. I'm Johnny Dean. We've got our professor, our own Rick Plum, joining me here from Lucia Capital Group. We're going to be talking first up about some of the things that you need to know for the new year. And specifically, I guess a few new laws. Oh, actually, though, there weren't all that many that we haven't talked about. Some ideas for tax planning for this year. Yeah, you know what? It's true. If you do, if you start planning today, if you start planning right now, you might find yourself in a much better position at the end of the year, which seems a long way off. But this is the time to do it. Perhaps some New Year financial resolutions. We're going to talk about that. Much as I hate that, with Professor Plum in just a moment. New Year resolutions. How long do those last?
Most of them have been broken already.
Many of them have, and they don't even make them anymore, which is probably a good idea, but things you should do. Now, if you need to talk with the Brain Trust right now about anything related to your money, you can call us, finally, 877-PLANNER, because we're live. If you were trying to call last week, we had some great shows for you, but you know you weren't able to call because we weren't live. We are now. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Looks like all the lines are open right now. I don't expect it to stay that way for very long. So the Brain Trust is standing by ready for you to talk to us. You can also email us. You can head over to our website, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page, and we'll answer your emails right here on the program. Professor Rick Plum, a certified financial planner. You know him well. I do, too. He's back here with me again today, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, and we thank them for bringing us this hour of the program. Keep this basic fact in mind. You need a retirement strategy. You need a bucket strategy. You need one that's tailored specifically to meet your goals and your needs. You can call the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Call them to meet with an advisor. You can talk with an advisor, ask your questions, get the questions answered. Oh, and get your bucket strategy up and running. Again, off the air at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. And on the air, 877-PLANNER. I did mention this. We do have plenty of lines open right now. And I would suspect, although I don't know for sure, Professor, but I never know on when we come back from being off for a week, what the phone lines are going to be like. We could be busy, we could not, but anyway, we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
It's good to be back. So New Year. Now, at the end of the year, we mentioned on our last live program right before Christmas that there are things that you needed to take care of, but it was a little late to really do anything at the time. Now, with the new year in place,
today is the day, this week is the week, to actually get a few things done.
Yes.
That can actually affect the entire year. If you may not even know it yet, though, but if you always get a big refund and you want a little bit more in your paycheck, now's the time to go through your withholding. If you haven't hit your 401k maximum, or you were playing catch up at the end of the year and you're putting more in per paycheck than you want to put in to be able to get to the max for or the amount that you want to put in this year, now's the nice time to adjust those types of issues, because you have all the paychecks for the year to affect. Whereas if you make a change towards the end of the year, you have to do a large change to make it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I went in to talk to our human resources today to adjust a few things. Now, if you were right at the limit, right where you wanted to be with the $24,000, $18,000 with the 401k, there's nothing to do because the numbers didn't change in those areas. We didn't get an increase in our availability of 401k contributions. But there are times where somebody may have missed out on the early part of the year and was playing catch up in the later part of the year to try to get a lot in. Well, you might want to go in and reduce that amount so that you have a lower amount taken out of every check, but still hit the maximum amount for the year. But now's the time to do all these things because it makes a difference, and it makes a big difference through the whole year.
If you wind up taking a bunch out because you missed out early in the year, does that mess you up ever from a dollar cost averaging standpoint? If you didn't do anything for the first, say, 4 or 5 months of the year, and you realize I got to catch up, so you pump a bunch of money in. I mean, does that
ever? Well, it depends on the year. I mean, this last year, 2015, not putting anything in to your 401k until July, and then starting to fund in July, funding in August, funding a large amount in September. You did very well with that that mm-hmm. strategy. Now, it wasn't because you planned on it. It's because the market took an unexpected, or should I say expected? We just didn't know when it was going to happen. I mean, August and September were horrible months, which are really good months to be buying in. And so if you had funded it all in the first 6 months of the year to get it out of the way, not that very many people do that, they watched all their funding, their dollar cost averaging, be done ahead of time, ahead of the market drop. It didn't work as well. And that's why it's impossible to try to play a strategy like, well, should I fund it early? Should I fund it late? Just fund it. Because if you are funding into the stock market area, you're using dollar cost average, that's money that you should not have to need for at least 10, 15 years. And so you're never going to be able to pick the highest point to stop funding or the lowest point to start funding. Nobody's ever been able to do that. So just fund through the whole thing. Fund early, fund often, fund. Keep funding your 401k. Get it to the maximum amount as much as you can afford every year and just let it go. Because anything that's got that volatility that we were talking about, mm-hmm. that the stock market does have, is a long-term investment. When's the best time to get into the market? When you have a long-term time horizon and you have the money. So that's about now.
It could very well be right now. Keeping in mind, of course, that if you're doing one of these things that where you put in 1% because you just got started, maybe you want to think now that it's January, raising it perhaps to 2%.
Or whatever your percent was.
Or from 2 to 3 or whatever the percent is. If you have the employer match,
I would say if you're not at the maximum number right now, if you are not putting in the full 18,000, 24,000 that you can do for under 50 and 50 and older, increase what you're doing in your 401k. If you're doing it on a percentage basis, increase it by 1% or 2%. You're probably not going to notice much of that in your paycheck. If you are doing it on a flat dollar amount, increase it by $50 or $100 a paycheck, whatever. Increase it. Always be pushing forward. Never sit with the status quo. Always be pushing forward. You're probably not going to notice it very much. They've redone the withholding slightly, so we have a little bit more in each tax bracket this year than we had last year in the lower brackets. And we've got a little bit more standard deduction for those of you that don't itemize. So you're going to have a little bit mm-hmm. lower tax withholding anyway. So let's make up that difference and let's put it in the 401k.
I know there are those who get, not everybody, but certain workers who get maybe 1% or 2% bumps in pay every year, depending on you know, various things. There are people who take that and they say, okay, well, I'm used to living on what I lived on last year. So this 2% increase or whatever it is, or some percentage of my increase, can actually go into the 401k.
Right. If you know that you're getting an automatic increase your 401k by the same amount. Mm-hmm. And it will help you dramatically down the line. Is now a great time? Who knows? But it's not about today. The money you're putting into your 401k is not about today. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about next year. It's about 2025, or actually 2030 and beyond. Mm-hmm. The money that you are allocating to the 401k today on a dollar cost averaging basis should be 15, 20 year money. Now, if you're 55, 65 years old, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not gonna be working here for 15 more years. I'm not gonna work until I'm 80 years old. That's fine. You're still not going to spend 100% of your money day one when you retire. So the new money that's going into your 401k, that still should be put towards the more aggressive side of the house. If you want to take advantage of some safer areas, you're getting ready to retire, you want to create your bucket one, fine, do that with the existing money. Carve off pieces of the existing capital in your 401k to allocate to the appropriate buckets. But new money, automatic, ongoing contributions, continue to dollar cost average into the more aggressive side of the house.
Yeah, and it's important to know too, I think, Professor Plum, that there are a lot of people that can't put away the full 18 or the 24, whatever.
The highest amount or not.
It doesn't matter. That's really not the point of this. The point is to at least do something. Even if it's $100, $50, I don't know what it is.
1%, 2%, just push it the next step. And now's the good time to do it because you've got a fresh year starting. You've got the whole year to take advantage of it. And if today is anything what the rest of the year is going to be like, we're going to see some volatility. And volatility is your friend when it comes to dollar cost averaging and long-term time horizon. And if you've got money that's going into any type of stock investment, whether it's a stock, a mutual fund, an individual stock, an ETF, pick your old, you know, your growth investment, you need to have a long-term time horizon. While it could turn out to be a very good time to invest for the next year,
it may turn out to be a horrible time to invest for the next year.
Yeah.
So this is time to invest for the next 15 years.
Yeah, and it's important to keep that in mind as well, because I've already heard it. I heard this over the weekend. Somebody on one of the talk shows on the weekend was saying, you know, I'm predicting bad things for the stock market. Well, with the Fed, they're going to raise interest rates again, and it's going to create havoc. So my advice to people is to get out of the stock market, sit on the sidelines, put your money in cash, and wait until something happens.
Fine. Take existing capital, the money that you might need to spend in the next 10 or 15 years, or money you want to be opportunistic with, put it on the side. Dollar cost average into the volatility.
That's the whole point of it. We're not market timing. Do not do that. You have no idea where 2016 is going to lead. In fact, I'm going to do that maybe tomorrow. We're going to look at some of the predictions for 2015, the rock solid predictions for the S&P, and we'll see how people fare. That'll be tomorrow. 877-PLANNER, our number. We got lines open. Ask the Brain Trust your money questions right now. 877-PLANNER. John Eady and Professor Rick Plum. We're coming right back. Getting started the new year right. That's right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing. Answering your money questions. I should mention again, we are live after, it seems like a long time, it seems like forever. Our last live show was on the 23rd. Christmas happened to fall on just the right day of the week this year, which meant that New Year fell on the right day of the week, which is a Friday, which meant that just by default, there were 2 3-day weekends. And, you know, if you take just a few days off in between, like we did, then you wind up with quite a few off. Anyway, we are back live, Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum. Our phone line open, as I said, that 877-PLANNER, if you have any questions about anything at all. We're going to get into some more of these things that are new for 2016 coming up in just a bit. I've also got some numbers to run by you perhaps next hour to put some of this stuff into perspective. Now, you mentioned, Professor Plum, one of the things we can do is to maybe look at withholding. If you don't necessarily want a refund, you want more of your check during the course of the year, well, you can adjust your withholding downward or upward, whichever way you need it to go. What about debt? Is this a good time to be looking at reducing consumer debt?
It's always a good time.
Yes, it is.
I mean, but you've got to look at what's your interest rates. And unfortunately, right after Christmas, we really don't want to see those statements. Many people have used the cards to create the Christmas, and now they're going to pay the piper. And so we have to look at what is the interest rate. If you've been able to get one of these super low 0% ones, and you have other ones that have higher interest rates, well, let's focus on what gives us the biggest bang for the buck. And that's getting rid of the higher interest rate credit cards first. But credit cards are an issue, and unfortunately, a lot of people carry debt year to year. And so that may be one of the best resolutions that anybody can make, and that is, let's get out of credit card debt and start. It's not that credit cards are the problem. It's the continually maintaining a balance on the card that is a problem. I know, John, you use a credit card for miles and other things, mm-hmm. and points, whatever it is. But you pay it off either every month or every other month, you know, depending on how big you charged the week before.
We'll see this month. It may not
well,
happen
Christmas
this month.
Well, Christmas is an anomaly.
I haven't even looked yet. I'm afraid to look. I'll do it tonight.
But you don't carry a balance from year to year.
No.
It's a convenience for a lot of people. And the way, you know, how many people carry cash now? I mean, it just doesn't happen that often. And we don't pay with cash. We pay with a debit card or a credit card. And if you are disciplined enough, using a credit card is fine for that convenience of not having cash on our hands. Now, on the other side, a lot of people will carry cash because I tend to spend less when I'm spending cash than when I'm spending on a card. Even though I pay the card off every month, at the end of the month, it's like, holy crap.
Have you ever shelled out?
How did it get that high?
That's it. Have you ever, for Christmas, I did this a couple of times for gifts, shelled out 20s, and with every 20 that you're putting down or 10 or whatever
it
is,
seems more.
It just sort of rips a little piece of you out. Like, you know, this is money I need, and I'm giving you this for whatever worthless item I'm buying.
So for some people would prefer using cash so that they can maybe have a little bit more discipline. But I've also found I'm on both sides of that equation using cash. Yes, I will tend to spend less on items, or I try to not spend as much when I use cash. But the other side of it is once I break a 20, man, that money goes quick, and I don't know where it goes. And I have no recollection of where that 5 went, that 10 went, a couple of those ones in there. All of a sudden, it's like, I had a 20 in there the other day, and now it's gone.
Last thing you remember, you had a 20, and now you got maybe a couple of ones left. Well, it's interesting about debt. You know, people tend to get on people about debt. people tend to really, this is one of those things, it's easy for everybody to understand. It's easy for journalists to write about, and it's easy for people to really get on other people about.
And a lot of people have credit card debt.
Yes.
Face
they,
it.
Yes. Know. Well, they do. It's just, for whatever reason, it's a part of life, especially as you get into this whole quote-unquote digital economy. Now, there's some debts are good, some debts are bad. I think that if you've got some credit card debt, I'm not going to sweat it too much, frankly.
No, I mean,
it's better if you don't have it, but it's certainly not going to kill you.
And it's all about, when can we get out of it? If it's a chronic issue, that's something we have to deal with. If we're paying off, you know, Christmas 2010, and we haven't even started on 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15, okay, that's a problem. But if it takes us a couple weeks, couple months to get rid of the 2015 Christmas debt, that's what it was. But let's see what we can do. And then as soon as we get out of that credit card debt, let's take that payment that we were using to pay down that debt and start building up a Christmas fund for 2016. So maybe we pay cash for 2016 and we can start doing other things with our money and get ahead of it rather than always playing catch up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to make, too. If you've ever paid off a debt and maybe you've been putting a few hundred bucks, it feels great. But then the question is, what do you do with that money that you've been putting toward that debt for the last year or two or five or whatever it is? And for many people, it's just, hey, I got extra spending money. Might be a good time. It could be a good time for you to say, well, I've got this extra money. Maybe I will put it towards some other kind of fund. Either save it for next Christmas, save it for a vacation.
Build up the emergency fund?
Toward the emergency fund, which, again, that's a different situation for everybody.
Opportunity fund, a cash fund, because we all have things that come up. This last couple of months, I had things that came up and bit my wallet hard, and I wasn't expecting those, and so my emergency fund got somewhat depleted, and so I have to work on rebuilding that again, unfortunately. But it happens, and so but it was nice to have the cash on the side to be able to pay for those issues, and so I'm going to rebuild it, and that's just what happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Now, okay, paying off debt. Another thing you should probably do is take a step back at this time of year and look where you are. Look where you are. Now, you may not know what you owe in taxes yet this year. Perhaps, you know, you haven't done them. It's still too early in the year.
It's way too early for people to have done their 15s, unless they're weird like me.
Well, I mean, but there are some people who didn't have anything change too much over the course of the year.
They have a pretty good idea of what the bill's going to look like.
Yes. Now, you mentioned adjusting your withholding. How do you know? Let's say you decide, I get a $1,500 check back every year. It's nice when I get it in April. But frankly, I don't think this is, I would do much better without this money coming in every year. All right. I could probably put it to better use. So if you want to adjust it where you've got it during the course of the year, how do you know how to adjust it?
Well, the first thing is you have to first make the decision, which one's more valuable to you, money in the paycheck every pay period or the bigger lump sum check at the refund time. For some people, that refund is the only way they can save. It sounds weird, and it used to be that it was a horrible way to save because the IRS doesn't pay you interest on that money that you've given them too much, you know, over the year. But now with, you know, bank accounts paying 0.00%, you know, some people look at it as a forced saving, and the fact that they can get a refund in, you know, March, April, May, and say, well, now I've got some money to go on summer vacation, do other things. It's a forced saving. So some people actually like getting the refund. I've used the refund. I've planned for it a year or two in advance to be able to buy something in May that I knew was coming up, and I felt that was the easiest way for me to do it. Just have a little extra withheld out of my paycheck every month and then get my refund and go out and buy the item that I wanted to buy. So you have to look at which one's more important. On the other side, a lot of people, if they have the money in their paycheck every month, and this is why I say putting it in the 401k helps a lot, they won't even notice it in their paycheck every month. So they redo their withholdings and they get an extra $50 a month or whatever it is, paycheck.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize it. And they're not going to get the refund in April, May when they do their tax return, but they also didn't save any of it during the year and they didn't really notice that extra money was happening every month. So you've got to decide what is more important to you. Some people say, "Look, I need that money every month, so I want to reduce the refund." Now it's a matter of changing withholding. Most payroll, especially the bigger companies, have online calculators where you can take a look at what you're paying, what your withholding is doing, and play a what-if game. If I changed it from a 3 on my withholding to a 4, what's that going to do to my paycheck? Well, it's an extra $13. Well, that's not very much. Whatever. I don't know what the number is, but you can manipulate it that way and see what's happening.
877-PLANNER, PLANNER, lines open right now. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, it's Bucket Strategy Invest. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. A happy new year to y'all. Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum answering your money questions here. 877-PLANNER. We're back live. So if you have any money questions, you can call now. 877-752-6637. Whatever's on your mind, Social Security, annuities, insurance, retirement strategy. We talk about all of it right here. 877-752-6637. I mentioned Social Security because not only we talk about it on this show, but we also do it on the Social Security show. Odd for a show called The Social Security Show to talk about Social Security. But that's what we do every Tuesday afternoon. It'll be back again tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. It's only at WealthEd.com, The Social Security Show, with me, Johnny Dean, and Professor Rick Plum, talking all manner of Social Security strategy, planning, laws, rules, and answering your questions in both email and phone call form. Tune in tomorrow only at WealthEd.com. It's a Social Security show. All right, again, our phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER. We are live today, 877-752-6637. Hope everybody had a nice, healthy, happy, whatever, holiday season, Christmas season, New Year, and all of that. I should mention, Professor Plum, much of the laws have stayed the same. We know that the contribution limits for 401ks and IRAs, those have all stayed the same, right?
They have, yes.
Yeah, it was $5,500 for...
this is the IRA.
Yes, for the IRAs, $5,500 if you're under 50 years of age.
Yes.
If you're 50 or older, it's still $6,500 as part of the catch-up provision.
$1,000 catch-up, yes. Mm-hmm.
And 401ks, $18,000?
$18,000, and this is 401ks, 457s, 403bs, $18,000 if you're under 50, and... for us older folks that are 50 or older during the year. Now, you don't have to be 50 today to start funding it at the higher level. You just have to turn 50 or older this year, and you can start funding it at the $24,000 level. So you can start doing it.
Right. A week ago, you could have been 48. And today, you could...
That's not going to work.
Well, because you're 49.
So if you turned 49,
if you were 49
last week.
If you were 48 December 29th and you were 49 on December 30th, that means you're going to be 50
this year.
This year, which means that's plenty of room, plenty of time. You can do your catch-up contribution.
Right. You don't have to wait until you actually turn 50 to start putting in the extra money that's allowed, because that's not very fair for somebody who turns... you know, December 30th, they turn 50. They got to put $6,000 in by the 31st. That doesn't. So no. It's the year you turn 50 or older. You can pick up that extra $6,000 contribution.
Yeah, and the ACA. We should mention this because I've had a couple of questions
Affordable
on
Care
this.
Act.
Yes, the Affordable, I guess.
The Care penalties Act. Have fully kicked in now. Starting a couple days ago, 2016, they were phased in. It was only $95 the first year per person who did not have coverage, or 1% of your adjusted gross income. In 2014, they went, or 15, they went, well, 14, they went to 300 and some dollars. Well, it's going up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter now because it's...
For 2016, the Affordable Care Act penalty for not having qualifying coverage is now $695 per adult and half that amount per child in the household, or whichever is greater on these two amounts, 2% of your adjusted gross income. So... if you've got an adjusted gross income of $100,000 and it's a family of four, you've got a $2,000. You got a pretty good sized number,
yeah,
going at $2,000 adjusted, you know, penalty.
And as I understand it, and I can, please correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but if your income falls below certain thresholds, the penalty is still waived. If the cheapest plan available to you. Still, the cost represents more than, I think it's 8% of your yearly income, then you don't, there is no penalty for having it.
Right, but just...
that's as I understand it.
Understand that you are supposed to have health coverage. And otherwise, unless you're very low on the income scale, you're going to have a penalty. And just what it is.
Yeah. The
this is where you may want to learn how to manipulate your withholding.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, because the way they collect the penalty, the way they collect the penalty, and I, again, not being the total expert on this, but the way they collect the penalty is
you
can only
refund.
Take it from your tax refund. So if you owe a $695 penalty because you didn't have health coverage throughout all of 2016, and come 2017, you're expecting a $700 refund, what they can do is take the $695.
You'll get a $5 refund.
You'll get a $5 refund. Now, if you wind up owing taxes, if you wind up, you know, paying $100 or $200 or whatever it is, and you supposedly owe a $695 penalty, the way I understand it, Professor Plum, is they cannot bill you for it.
That's our understanding.
That's my understanding.
We're not CPAs. We don't practice tax law. And so try this at your own peril, but talk to your accountant about that.
Yeah. All right, 877-PLANNER. I want to take a couple of calls now. 877-752-6637. We'll get to some of your emails as well. If you want to email us, you go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. Click on the Find Your Answer link. Let's head back to the phone lines. As I said, still a couple of lines open. Let's go to Collegeville, PA. Talk with John up next. Hello, John.
Hello.
How can we help you?
I'm calling about a 401k. And say I'm over 59 and a half, and now say you want to take some of the 401k money and move it to a Roth. Mm-hmm. So you take it into income, but it decreased from 10,000 to 8,000. When you move it, can you take a tax loss?
Now, you did a 401k conversion within the Roth, the 401k, or it's all inside the 401k, or did you do it to an IRA?
It's it went from a regular 401k.
Okay.
We get your $6,500 annual deduction.
Now, regular 401k, you can put $24,000 into, and conversions are an unlimited amount.
Oh, I'm thinking of an IRA then. I'm sorry.
No problem.
IRA. So you have an IRA.
Okay.
A regular IRA, and then you put $10,000 in and say it's only worth $8,000 now. But you want to take it into income because you're in a low tax bracket, so you transfer it over to a Roth IRA.
Okay.
Can you take a $2,000 tax loss somewhere?
No, not unless that's the only traditional IRA you have in your name and you did not take any deductions. Now, when you created this $10,000 in the traditional IRA, did you take a tax deduction for the to do it, you would have had to do it in two different years, $5,000 one year or $5,000 the next year, or do a 401k rollover. So the question is, where did the $10,000 in the IRA come from? If it came from a tax-deductible contribution or it came from a 401k rollover, you have no tax basis. You've never paid taxes on any of the money in the IRA. And it's because you've not paid taxes on any of the money in the IRA, there's no loss allowable here. But on the other side, if I had put $5,000 of non-deductible money into my non-deductible IRA in 2014 and put another $5,000 into 2015, and this is the only IRA in my name, and it's worth, you know, I've put in $10,000 of non-deductible money, and there's only worth $8,000 now, and I convert it across, conversions are not going to get you a tax deduction. All you're doing is moving IRA to IRA. The way to get the tax deduction would be to eliminate the IRA completely, and then it becomes trickier, even trickier after that, because it becomes an itemized deduction. It has to be in excess of 2% of your adjusted gross income. So the odds of you getting a deduction on it are very, very small.
Well, I might break that 2%. So you're saying if I just took it from an IRA, and just took it into regular income, then I could take the loss?
Potentially, but it wouldn't be. Now, where did the money in the IRA come from?
It was like you said, 2013, 2014, you put in five each year.
And they were non-deductible contributions?
They were deductible contributions.
Okay, then you cannot take a loss because you've never paid tax on the money that's in the IRA. You took a deduction in 2013. Your tax basis is zero. You took a deduction in 2014. Your tax basis in those accounts are zero. So any money you take out of it is going to be a taxable event. So if you convert it to a Roth right now, it's an $8,000 taxable event. There is no loss capability because you never paid taxes on that original 10.
Okay, gotcha. I just saw something where I was reading something where it was a regular IRA, you could take a deduction somewhere, but I guess it was non-deductible.
It had to have been a non-deductible. So if, in your case, if the 13 and 14 contributions had been non-deductible contributions, then you have what they call basis in your IRA, after-tax money. you have an after-tax basis of $10,000 because you've made two $5,000 after-tax contributions. The total value of every IRA in your name is worth $8,000. That's a $2,000 loss. If you eliminate it, not convert it, it doesn't count on conversion. If you eliminate it, you have the potential of taking a $2,000 miscellaneous itemized deduction on your tax return, as long as it exceeds 2%, only the amount that exceeds 2%, and as long as you itemize.
Of your AGI.
Of adjusted gross income.
Okay. That answers my question.
But
thank you.
In your case, it's not going to be a deductible event.
Thank you.
All right, John. Thank you very much for the call. I look at it this way. You've taken the... Because we get this question a lot. Why can I not take a deduction? I have money in an IRA. Actually, we're out of time.
I've already taken the deduction.
Exactly. And I'll explain this when we come back. We got to take a break here, but it's important because I think people just don't understand that they've already taken the deduction. Now they want to take a... You can't take more than 100% of anything. Okay. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. Great questions. Keep it up. We still have two lines open, so get them now. Taking your call. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, The Brain Trust. Coming right back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. A happy new year to everyone. 2016 is here. As if you didn't know, you probably knew that. 877-PLANNER is our number. You probably knew that as well. We got some lines open right now. So if you have a money question, you can ask your questions right now, both this hour and next hour, because there's another hour coming up of this Bucket Strategy Investing program. So stick around for the best in money information. You get it right here, right now. Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum. Again, 877-PLANNER is our number. Get to a couple of emails as well in just a moment or two and next hour. I mentioned before the break, this is something we should try to clear up as best we can, Professor Plum, because money in an IRA, if you lose money that you have in the IRA, you cannot take a deduction on that money.
Typically not, because you haven't ever paid taxes on the money. Most of the money in traditional IRAs is there from 401k rollovers, where you put money in on a pre-tax basis. You took a deduction when you put the money into the account. Well, IRAs, you took a deduction when you put the money into the account. A tax-deductible IRA, right? A tax deduction. By taking that deduction when you put it in, it means that there's no tax loss if it comes out, you know, worth less than what you put into it. So when you look at an IRA, it's done on the account size, the value basis, not the individual security. We get to defer the gains and the losses. Whatever happens inside that IRA, those IRAs, we don't pay any taxes on it while it's happening. Up, down, doesn't matter. We don't show it as a gain, we don't show it as a loss, we don't show it as a gain, don't show it as a loss, until such time as we start taking money out of the IRAs. And assuming that all the money has been put in on a pre-tax basis, meaning we've taken a deduction for all the money that we put into it, all the money coming out of it, regardless of where it came from, is going to be a taxable event. Now, over the last couple decades, we have had the ability to do non-deductible traditional IRA contributions. So a lot of people have put in non-deductible money, money that they have paid taxes on, money that they did not take a deduction for. And so they have what's known as basis. And basis, to me, is the starting point for determining what's taxable and not taxable. And so if we have made non-deductible contributions, now we have to look at, how do I get that money that I've already paid taxes on out of the IRA without paying taxes on it again? Well, if I'm in a situation like our last caller, and if it had been where he had made non-deductible contributions, and the total of all of my non-deductible contributions still in the IRA are more than the value of my IRA, now I actually potentially do have a loss, because I have basis, and my basis is higher than my value. When the basis is higher than my value, I can eliminate the IRA. Remember, this is not on the investment side, this is on the account side. I can eliminate the IRA and potentially take a tax loss.
You say eliminate the IRA, how do you do that?
I tell the IRA custodian, send me 100% of everything in my IRA, my IRAs, all of my IRAs. And if the total amount that I receive, and after basically eliminating every IRA in my name, is less than the total basis that I had in my IRAs, I have a potential for a loss, a tax loss.
That tax loss is a miscellaneous itemized deduction subject to 2% of my adjusted gross income. So what that means is if I don't itemize, I don't get a loss. If the loss is less than 2% of my adjusted gross income, I don't get the loss. If the loss is more than 2% of my adjusted gross income and I itemize, then that amount that's more than 2%, I can potentially take as a loss on my tax return and reduce my overall income, my taxable income. But it's difficult and it's unusual to do it. Now, the same thing works in a Roth IRA as well. But the Roth IRA, by definition, is an after-tax contribution. So more people may have the ability to take losses on Roth IRAs than on traditional IRAs because most of the money that I'm putting in, I mean, all the money I'm putting in is on an after-tax basis. If I convert money in, I had to pay taxes on the money coming in. If I made a contribution, I did not take a deduction on the money going in. So all the money that I've put into it that I've already paid taxes on is my basis. And for some people, they've lost a lot of money. They could potentially eliminate all their Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. Now, it does require all Roth IRAs, or on the other side, all traditional IRAs be eliminated. And that includes those 401k rollovers that you have. You know, those bigger accounts maybe, the IRA rollovers. Well, it's not a contribution. It's not a contributory IRA. It is an IRA, though. It includes your simples. It includes your SEPs. It includes every IRA in your name if you're looking at the traditional side. And so for a lot of people to have more in basis after-tax non-deductible contributions, then value is an unusual occurrence.
It does happen, but it doesn't happen all that often.
We saw it happen back in 2002, 2001, to some degree in 2008 and 9, but most of the time it's not a deductible experience.
No, so the way to look at it is you put $8,000 in an IRA, a traditional IRA.
Over 2 years.
Well, let's just say you have it. Over the course of however many years, you have $8,000 in there. You had put it in there. You look at it, and it's now worth $6,000. Somebody would say, well, wait a minute. I should get a $2,000 loss. Well, no, because the $8,000, you've already written off $8,000 of it. So if you went and liquidated it and you said, send me a check for what's left, they're going to send you a check for $6,000. Assuming that you sold everything.
So you took a deduction for
$8,000,
and you're now realizing a taxable event of $6,000. You have a deduction of $2,000, but you took it a couple years ago.
Exactly. So you've already written it off, and that's where I think people get held up on this or hung up on
this. The other thing that people get hung up on is the fact that, okay, I've got these accounts over here where I'm making my non-deductible contributions. I'm over the limit. I have my 401k, whatever the case, and I'm making my non-deductible contributions. And then I also have this rollover IRA over here. But that was from a 401k, so that's totally different. No, it's not. Not when it's in IRA form. And so they would say, I have a loss on these contributions. I've got $10,000 in contributions and a $8,000 value. I want to take a loss on just this one account. Nope, not going to happen. Not when I have this other IRA account that's got $100,000 of a rollover from my previous employer's 401k. Now my value is $106,000. And my basis is 10. Well, that's a lot of taxable event.
It really is. I guess what you got to look at, Professor Plum, is IRAs means your entire IRA world.
Roth
I'm talking
is
about
Roth,
traditional versus traditional. Roth, but let's say traditional IRAs, whatever you have in traditional IRAs in your name, that's the value. It's not individual 401 like it is with 401ks.
And SEPs and simples are part of that.
Of course.
Rollovers are part of that. Contributory IRAs, they're all part of your IRA world.
There's some confusion there. I hope we've cleared it up. If not, you can give us a call. It's all about planning. In fact, we're planning on another hour. But in the meantime, if you want to talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone lines are open as well. Off the air, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to any one of the nationwide advisors at Lucia Capital Group about your buckets strategy and your retirement strategy. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around. Do not go away.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.